I'm not feeling very well, or I might be distracted. I ask you to come and celebrate this Mass in me. And if you're in the congregation, Lord, come and participate in this Mass in me with your divine will to offer the Father a perfect correspondence of love and thanksgiving and adoration for all the Masses of all time. For every person who should have been there and wasn't, every person who didn't receive communion, every person who never thanked you for communion. And you see the answer. I mean, what the divine will is capable of and what Jesus did in his own life is what this is all about. So those are the rounds of sanctification that are a way for us to, and the three, you know, the three purposes of the divine will Jesus gives us in the hours of the Passion. He says what? Glorify the Father, make reparation for sin, and, I know the third thing, save souls. Those are the three purposes of our life in the divine will. Glorify the Father, which is what brings the kingdom of heaven to earth. Make reparation for all the sin, our own, everybody else's, and then to make it possible for souls to go to heaven, to be saved. And so in everything we do, that's our intention. Every act of the divine will has that. Everything that Jesus did had those three intentions. And he did it in such a way, when he made reparation, he made it for every act in your life, every act in mine, and every other soul who would ever live. So what we're doing in these rounds of especially redemption, sanctification, is through the divine will, which gives us, I call it the gate of heaven. You know, it's one of the titles of Mary in the Litany of Loretto, but it's also one of the titles of Jesus. It's called the Gate of Heaven. And I believe it's in the book of Genesis when Jacob wrestles with the angel and he wakes up and he says, truly this is a holy place, this is the Gate of Heaven. No, excuse me, not the wrestling. It's when he sees the ladder and the angels are going up and down on the ladder. He says, this is truly God's dwelling, the Gate of Heaven. Why? Because it was a special place where heaven and earth connected. What the divine will is a gate of heaven. It's a way for us to unite with the life of heaven and to bring that life here on earth. So, Jesus speaks to Louisa about forming this new creation of the kingdom in all. He said, first it had to be done in my humanity. Remember, everything happened in Jesus first. So the new creation was formed in the humanity of Jesus so that then we could come along later and participate in that formation of the new creation. So he says, every additional thing I did, in everything I did, the divine fiat was expanding the boundaries of its kingdom in my humanity. He says, as a heavenly doctor, I had to give medicine and remedies. I had to speak about forgiveness and institute the sacraments. I had to suffer atrocious pain, even unto death. But all of this was to prepare the new creation so that creatures might receive my divine will as king in the midst of the people and that they might let it reign. I love that image where Jesus says every act of his life, just think every blinking of his eye, every step that he took, every beat of his heart, he says, the reign of God's will was growing in his soul. So that the divine will, because in every act he did, he invited the divine will to do it. And so in every act that he did, he says, this kingdom was getting larger and larger in my soul. And the reason I like it is because it's a wonderful image for us to think that everything I do, if it's in God's will, is, and Jesus says this in another place, he says that it makes the capacity of your soul greater. You're born in your human nature with a certain capacity in your soul. But he says the divine will has the power to enlarge it. Only the divine will. So that in every act you do, he says, it grows a little bit more. So the kingdom of God is spreading more and more in your soul so that it has more capacity and at the same time, more power to bring the kingdom of God's will to reign on earth. So then he goes on to tell Louisa in these passages that now I did that was done in me, now I want it to be done in you. And through you, I want it to be done in those who are going to read this. And finally, I want it to happen in all of humanity. Before the end of time. Good luck. That's a long way to go, I'm afraid. But that's the progression that he wants to see happen. He says, you must know that when I manifest one truth of mine which is not yet known, it is a new creation that I make. And I love so much to release from within myself all of the goods and secrets which I contain. And because this word is creative, it creates in the soul the very truths I communicate as a new creation. This is an amazing reality. And it's not that it contradicts what I said earlier about us having to apply them. But he does say that the knowledge itself has a power in us to bring about what it says. He said this to Louisa about her own life. He said, all that I've spoken to you, every truth, every little bit of knowledge, he says, that I've given you, has not just communicated an intellectual knowledge, it's formed the truth in you. And he showed her this at one time. And at the end of her life, she saw this image of herself covered in mirrors. And every mirror was an image of Jesus. And she said, Lord, what is all this? He said, that is all the truth, the knowledge you have received in the divine will, because every one of them is a new creation of my own life in you. And so she was covered with these little images, these mirrors of Christ. She knows St. Hannibal died. He knew he was with Louisa for 17 years. He was just really, he had just, I believe, finished the 19th volume in editing it, getting ready to publish it, and he died. Louisa's very upset. He asked her to pray for a miracle, which she did, and it did not happen. So don't feel bad if your prayers for miracles in the divine will don't happen either. She asked him why. Do you remember what he said? What? He said, he had the greatest miracle of all. He had the gift of living in my will, and that's what he took to heaven. So he said, you don't need to perform miracles like the past, because this one surpasses all of them. And then he said something very beautiful, though I'm not sure it was terribly consoling to Louisa. But he said, my daughter, just as I have the hierarchy of angels with 9 distinct choirs, so I have the hierarchy of the children of the kingdom of my fiat. It will also have 9 choirs, and they will distinguish themselves from each other according to the varieties of the beauties they have acquired on earth by knowing some more, some less, the knowledge that pertains to my fiat. So the 9 choirs of angels correspond to 9 choirs of the children of the divine will, and what determines which choir you are in will be determined by how much knowledge you have come to know the divine will. Of course, that's not just an intellectual knowledge, but it's also got to be a knowledge of the heart, a knowledge that we put into practice. He said, therefore, each additional knowledge about my divine volition is a whole new creation. It's a whole new creation that it forms in the creatures of happiness, unsurpassable beauty, because it is divine life that runs within it, bringing within itself all the shades of the beauties of the one who manifests them, and all the keys and the sounds of the joy and the happiness of our own divine being. You know, this can sound so exalted at some points that you just wonder if anybody's ever going to make it. But remember, this is God's gift to us, and he asks only that we believe it, we trust it, we cooperate, and try to put it into practice as best we can. He says to Louisa, this new creation cost me the work not of 6 days, as in creation, but of 50 years, actually over 60 years. At this point, it must have been about 50 of Louisa being in bed. He said that cost, he had to work. Jesus is working, you know, on Louisa all the time to give her, form this gift in her. Therefore, he says, let me accomplish this job of the new creation and do not worry about what anybody else says or does. This is his work he wants to accomplish in her. But the point, I think, is so amazing there, and evidently he knew which choir St. Hannibal belonged to, and so when St. Hannibal reached the number of his acts, it was time for him to go and join the choir. So that was the end of his life. That's God's will. And in volume 36, he says, from all eternity, I knew how many acts you had. And when those acts are up, you're finished. Because those acts are predetermined by me for you in my holy will. And that's amazing to think that from all eternity, God knew you would receive this gift and how you would receive it, how you would be prepared for it, the knowledge you would need, and he provided it, and then all the graces you need to live in it. That's all been prepared by him. But he says, I know how many acts there are. And then he said this amazing thing, you've probably heard it before, but I know how many acts are going to be done by humanity before the end of time comes. Because the fulfillment of the kingdom of the divine will only happen at the second coming. And the ultimate fulfillment, completion, only happen at the second coming. By the way, that's the teaching of the church, so you better believe that. But he says that everything that's going to happen until then, all of the acts are cumulative. So the acts that you do, I do, all the souls who are called to live in it, are adding, if you will, to this deposit of acts in the divine will. And when he says that number has reached the point that I have determined from all eternity, then the second coming will take place. And what does it say in the scriptures? Then Jesus will take everything of creation, hand it to the Father, and God will be all in all. There will only be God. If you're not God, if you're not living the life of God, you won't be there. And so everything that is not God will have to be cast out and cast aside. And so that's not just about salvation, but it's also about our life in the divine will.